Welcome to the Issue Is podcast. This week, our guest is Jane Fonda, the legendary actor and activist who is amazingly 87 years old and has been at this game for some seven decades. We talked to her about her life's work and specifically the work that she's doing right now in Santa Barbara. Part of that is fighting back against big oil. And we talked to some of the leaders of that movement. And we talked to a representative of Governor Newsom after she makes some very feisty, fiery words about Governor Newsom, which have already made news. Since there's so many different players in all of this, we wanted to present this instead of one long interview as basically the show from this week, including sound from all these different perspectives. So here is The Issue Is with Jane Fonda, beginning with Jane Fonda's own words.
If we don't solve this, we're not going to survive.
In an Issue Is exclusive, Jane Fonda fights back against expanding California oil production.
It's insane to do this.
Against her own Democratic Party.
Democratic Party is MIA.
Against her longtime ally, Governor Gavin Newsom.
Is he Chamberlain or is he Churchill?
We get responses from the governor's top environmental advisor, the VP of Sable Oil Corporation, and Fonda's ally in this fight, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
You know what I've learned from Jane Fonda? I've learned that if you are passionate and you are active in your community, you'll live forever.
Broadcasting across California, you're watching The Issue Is.
Welcome to a special edition of The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson, reporting this week from Santa Barbara, where there is a big fight over big oil with some high-profile names speaking out.
Scientists have called this code red for humanity.
Jane Fonda has been called a lot of things over her 87 years.
The winner is Jane Fonda.
Oscar winner, Emmy winner. One of her proudest titles, environmentalist.
And shouldn't citizens have something to say about the kind of cars that are produced?
You could pick any issue. Why the environment? Why is that one so important for you?
Because if we don't solve this, we're not going to survive. Mm. I mean, this human beings can live on this planet because the temperature, it's Goldilocks. Mm. Not too hot, not too cold, just right. Mm. If that begins to change, if ecosystems like oceans and forests and air and glaciers, if they begin to collapse, then our ability to survive on the planet begins to collapse.
Fonda has been active in the environmental movement for decades, authoring multiple books on the topic and being arrested multiple times to make a point.
Right now, humanity is facing the most serious threat in all of our existence.
Her latest fight is against the Sable Oil Corporation, who want to restart oil production in the Santa Barbara Channel, which stopped in 2015 when a pipeline near Refugio State Beach ruptured, spilling over 100,000 gallons of crude oil.
It's insane to do this.
Fonda's ally in this fight is Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Don't enable Sable.
Louis-Dreyfus is an 11-time Emmy Award winner.
Who's dancing?
Known for iconic roles in Seinfeld.
I say I want to be president for all Americans. I mean, do I?
And Veep.
I am baffled that a corroded pipeline is even being considered.
I am here because I'm a resident of Santa Barbara County.
Louis-Dreyfus' speech at a public meeting on the issue. Interrupted as hundreds of people wearing Sable hats walk out.
Working people are the only ones that are going to bear the brunt of this policy.
Martin Rodriguez helped to build the original pipeline and says state leaders should make gas cheaper, not more expensive.
It's going to fall right in their lap when people start paying $10 a gallon for gas.
What do you say to people that think it's a good thing to drill, baby, drill?
I don't agree with that. I think we have many opportunities to find energy that is clean and safe and can keep all our businesses running and going and create jobs in a way that will not harm our planet.
Steve Rush is VP of Environmental and Regulatory Affairs for Sable. He says they've installed 27 new safety valves.
When this pipeline is completely repaired, it'll be the safest pipeline in the state of California. It'll be meet the more stringent requirements, safe requirements than any pipeline in the state, if not the U.S.
Sable estimates it'll produce 1 to 2 million barrels of oil per month.
It'll stabilize supply and it'll lower gasoline prices at a time when we all need lower prices.
They say what they're doing is legal, and they also point to the fact that there's a lot of people that want cheaper gas and cheaper oil, and that's a good thing. What do you say to that?
It is it's BS.
Go ahead.
No, it's ridiculous. They'll tell lies up the kazoo in order to justify drilling for oil at a time when we shouldn't be doing that. I mean, the scientists are very clear. We're in a bind. We're in a crisis. Mm-hmm. We're in a hole. And when you're in a hole, the answer is to stop digging. Mm-hmm. And we're still digging. We have to stop this.
Big oil is the polluting heart of this climate crisis.
Activists want California Governor Gavin Newsom to stop the project.
What's your main message to the governor?
I want him to do the right thing. I want him to be the environmental hero that I think of him as being. Mm-hmm. And California is at the forefront of environmental policy, and it's on the forefront of environmental policy globally.
Fonda, who's worked with Newsom to fight big oil in the past, is even more pointed.
Leaders are made or broken in times like this. Mm. And we have to ask ourselves, so is our Governor Newsom, is he Chamberlain or is he Churchill?
What do you think?
Right now he's Chamberlain. He's been Churchill. This is what's so insane.
This is part of the deprogramming, is it?
Fonda is not a fan of Newsom's recent podcast with Trump supporters, including Steve Bannon.
He's been brave about a lot of things, and then suddenly, what's going on? Cozying up to Steve Bannon is not a way. What he does by doing that is he forfeits his ability to inspire and protect the very people that elected him. We need him to stand up. We need all of our leaders now to stand up and put an end to this issue of a Texas oil company with a corroded pipeline who just want to make money.
What's your response to Jane Fonda that the governor needs to step up?
Now more than ever, we need to follow our laws and be fair and transparent.
Wade Crowfoot is California's Secretary of Natural Resources and Governor Newsom's top environmental advisor.
It's all about, does it meet the legal requirements? And that's the process that's working out right now.
Do you think that it does? Do you support this project?
Well, one thing I do as in my role is it's all about applying the law fairly. So it's not for me to opine whether I like the project or not like the project, whether I think it'll happen or it won't. This is a complicated and sometimes tedious process to consider if it's actually meeting the legal requirements. And that's what's continuing to evolve here in coming weeks and months.
Sable says production could begin by May.
All the facilities are in place. All we're doing is refurbishing them and bringing them back up ready to go, so we can basically just turn the wells on that already exist. It's just ready to go.
Crowfoot says not so fast.
There's 8 separate state agencies that actually oversee aspects of this, and they're at different stages of their analysis, so I can't really hypothesize on when that process would be completed.
Still, Fonda thinks the governor should and could do more.
When he decides he's going to, work on behalf of the population that elected him, we will be right there with him, because he's been really brave in the past, but he's not showing up now, and it's a real cause of concern.
Why do you think that is?
Because he's running for president. Mm. I don't know. That's what everybody assumes.
Would you vote for him? Do you think he's a good candidate for president?
It depends on how he handles his situation.
Which one shows up?
Yeah. It depends on which governor shows up for us here.
He would say that sitting down with Bannon and Charlie Kirk and all the rest of it, we have to talk to each other as a country, and there's lessons to be learned from why Democrats lost. You don't buy that?
No. You're not going to learn any lessons from Steve Bannon about why Democrats lost or any of the other Republicans he's had. Anybody wants to find out why Democrats lost. Talk to people in the middle of the country or working people here. Working class people are the people that can explain to the Democrats what went wrong, not Steve Bannon.
Woke just means you give a damn about other people.
Up next, Jane Fonda expands on her historic SAG-AFTRA speech and talks about the future of activism.
And welcome them into our tent.
When Jane Fonda crisscrossed the country campaigning for Kamala Harris, she saw warning signs.
Why do you think Democrats lost, and what can Democrats do better in the future?
I like to canvass. I like to knock on doors. And you learn a lot, you really do. I like knocking on doors and talking to people. In the last 5-6 years when I've done that, what you find out is Democratic Party is MIA. They're missing in action. The Democratic Party doesn't put money into the counties and states where working class people are hurting so bad, and they're just not talking to them. The middle of the country that was once the bedrock of the labor movement and the bedrock of the Democratic Party is hurting bad, and they don't feel like the Democratic Party listens to them or cares. That has to change.
You had this electrifying speech at the SAG Awards when you got the Lifetime Achievement Award, and you talked about the idea of defending woke as being empathetic.
Empathy is not weak or woke. And by the way, woke just means you give a damn about other people.
Being an empathetic country and the need for that.
Yeah.
And this moment, this challenge for the entire country that you believe Donald Trump represents. At this moment, where the media has changed, with the way people get information has changed, with the way people talk to each other has changed, what do you think is the most effective way to fight back against Trump and Trumpism?
Well, there's a lot of different ways, but there's going to be a lot of people with buyer's remorse. People who regret voting for Trump because they thought he was going to help their economic situation, and it's going in the opposite direction. When that happens, Democrats have to listen with their heart. I mean, really show up. Not just, now I'm checking the box, I'm going to listen to somebody that I don't agree with, but really listen. And receive, and don't judge. Open our hearts. Empathy is what is needed right now. But also, the we have to take back power, and we have to get the right people in place to take back power so that it will be truly power that belongs in the hands of working people and not neoliberal rich people up there that belong to the Democratic Party that don't give a fuzzy rat about working people.
Up next, Jane Fonda talks activism and the biggest misconceptions about her time in Vietnam.
It was Vietnam, and it was the war in Vietnam who forced me to ask myself certain questions about America.
She's not only this incredible actress, but she's the activist that you know her to be. But I couldn't do that. I'm in awe that she does to 5 people or 5,000 people and is good at it.
That's legendary actor Henry Fonda talking about his daughter Jane's activism. During the Vietnam War, she was photographed smiling on an anti-aircraft gun being used to target American planes. She's repeatedly called sitting there a, quote, huge mistake that she regrets. What she doesn't regret is speaking out against that war and finding her voice in her 30s.
Because although the bombs are falling on Vietnam, it's an American tragedy. The tragedy is ours, and it's going to take the American people many, many years to undo the damage and to wipe off the blight that has been put on our flag and our country.
You didn't really become involved in activism until your 30s.
That's
right. And then you've talked about how doing so changed your life and gave you purpose. Can you talk about that process and what activism itself does for you, how it fuels your soul?
I think that every human being wants to feel that their life has meaning. And, you know, it can be how you raise your children. It can be what you contribute to the town culture, whatever. But we want to be able to know why we're here. What is our goal? What is our purpose? And I lacked that for 34 years. I really didn't know why I was here and what I was supposed to do with my life and my growing platform as a movie actor. And because of the Vietnam War, and ironically, specifically what American soldiers taught me about the Vietnam War, these were guys who were fighting on the ground and had left Vietnam and were in France. And, you know, I didn't believe what they said at first. I really was a believer. I thought if our soldiers are sent to fight somewhere, it's on the side of the angels. My dad was in the Second World War, and I was a believer. And, you know, what happens when you're a believer and your eyes are open to a new reality, you become the biggest activists in the world to try to do something about it. When I was convinced by these soldiers and books that they gave me to read that the Vietnam War was wrong in many, many different kinds of ways, and more importantly, that it was destroying our soldiers, I left my family and moved to the United States, back to the United States, and joined the anti-war movement, working with soldiers. There was the GI movement. It was part of the anti-war movement, and I worked with soldiers. And that's why it breaks my heart when people think that I don't care about our servicemen. So, but for me, in terms of, so the war ended, and then what? You know, keeping
right.
going.
Right.
It was the women that I met as an activist.
Mm.
And I'm kind of glad that I was older, because I wouldn't have noticed if I was young. I can know the before Fonda, and then the after. They were, it was like, whoa, they just showed up in a different way. They really saw me.
Mm.
And they saw the GIs. They didn't look down or condescend or anything. It was being with these, it was the women in the anti-war movement, was like looking at the world that we were fighting for through a keyhole. That's what it's supposed to be. It's about how we treat each other. It's about how we are in the world.
Mm.
And you know, it's how they made me feel was more important than any political message that anybody delivered me.
How'd they make you feel?
I just wanted to be on their team, because I have been in my life in places where the air is utterly pure. And when you're there, you become smarter. You think more clearly and you become better. And it's kind of like that with these women. It was like, oh, everything felt different.
Mm-hmm.
Possibilities opened up. It was fun. You know, people think activism is like eat your broccoli. No, but it's fun. You make new friends, different kinds of people.
And there are so many women that look at you as an inspiration, but there's so many women that also have the challenge of not only being a woman, but potentially being a Black woman, or having class issues, or all sorts of challenges. And they've watched you take so much in coming. What is your advice to women out there who maybe are afraid to use their voice or want to get more involved but don't know how? What's your advice?
Don't be alone.
Mm.
If I have any power, it's because I am part of a group. I'm part of a movement.
Mm.
You know, when I was taking so much heat in the 70s and 80s for my stance on Vietnam.
What do you think that your troop can offer?
I could stand up to that and I could survive that because I was not alone. And
that's how you got through it, that your community helped lift you up and you felt with all the incoming coming at you.
That's correct, yeah, yeah. So that's one thing. Join an organization.
Mm-hmm.
Find out if there's one locally where you live. What happens when you start not just being concerned, I'm worried, I am really worried. That doesn't do any good to worry.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get up and you start doing something, calling your senator or congressman or woman and telling them, thanking them if they do something mm-hmm. good, but saying, I don't want you to vote on that, you know, I mean, that's really important.
Sure.
Really, really important. Visiting, going to their town halls if they have them. The Republicans said we're not going to do it anymore because they were getting too much feedback from their Republican constituents.
Mm.
This is really important.
Right.
People are hurting and they're speaking up and they're not happy about what's happening.
Up next, Jane Fonda plays personal issues, including her surprising pick for all-time favorite movie.
We wrap some things up on this show doing something called personal issues, which is kind of fun, not therapy or anything like this. It's rapid fire, your cultural favorites to get to know you kind of quickly.
All right.
So first thing that comes to mind, Jane Fonda, what is your all-time favorite movie?
Oh my God. I love Little Miss Sunshine, and I love WALL-E, that animated movie.
Oh,
and
nice.
I love Flo, and I love, oh my God, I love movies.
Yeah. Favorite TV show of all time?
I love Lucy.
Oh my God, that's the greatest, and started the whole thing. I love that that's your answer. That was my favorite show as a kid. I love Lucy. There we go. Yeah, for Lucy and Ricky. What is your favorite book of all time?
Oh, I don't know. I read 2 books a week. I don't know even how to answer.
Anything that's especially inspire you recently that you recommend to people?
I don't read novels so much.
Okay. It could be nonfiction.
Oh, I know. I just read a book. I don't even know. Oh, it's by 3 scientists, one of whom I know personally, Paul Ehrlich, Before They Vanish. And it's about why, when species go extinct, it endangers humanity. And it's a beautiful book. Oh, I know. There's another one. The woman who's invited me to come into the Ecuadorian Amazon with her, she's written a book. It's so unusual, because when can you read a book and find out about day-to-day life in the rainforest? Mm.
Yeah.
They talk to animals. They listen to trees. I mean, I can't wait. And it's called We Will Be Jaguars. Fabulous.
Love that. It's a great title.
Fabulous.
And last question. You're so many people's role model. Who's your role model?
I guess Annie Leonard. Annie Leonard is on my board, on the PAC board. She ran Greenpeace for a decade.
And what did she teach you?
So many things, including, well, in 2019, when I went to DC to do Fire Drill Fridays, which Annie helped me get going, and we engaged in civil disobedience. In the process of making that happen, Annie Leonard taught me movement manners. The very first thing she did when I got to DC is she said, now we have to have all of the leaders of the environmental organizations who understand fossil fuels is where we have to focus to work with us on. She said, there's buy-in, and we're then part of the broader movement. I mean, that kind of thing.
And real quickly, what is the most important lesson you want us to learn from your story?
Activism, which means moving from concern and worry into action, makes you hopeful, gives you meaning in your life, and makes you happy, and you have better fun than you did before you became an activist.
We have, since we started the show 7 years ago, we've wanted to have you on. It is worth the wait. Jane Fonda, thank you so much for all that you do. Our thanks to Jane Fonda, and our thanks to you for watching this special edition of The Issue Is. I'm Alex Michelson, reporting this week from Santa Barbara. I'll see you next week with more. This was really, really a pleasure to
I never thought I would hear that from a Fox correspondent.
Our thanks to Jane Fonda, and we appreciate you for listening to this podcast version of The Issue Is. A reminder that you can listen to other episodes right here on The Issue Is. Watch us at theissueisshow.com or on Tubi or on my YouTube page, youtube.com/AlexMichelson. Would love to hear your thoughts in Instagram at Alex Michelson and connect with you. Next week, we will be back with more of The Issue Is. Thanks so much for listening.